Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting edition of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. In today's episode, you're going to hear an interview with Coach Lafayette Bell, who's an incredible coach. My son played for him last summer on his Fast AAU team. He's now the new head coach at Marion Central Catholic. Excellent coach, great guy. And we had a little bit of discussion on AAU basketball, coaching in general. He's got two great sons who are going to be Division I recruits. Fantastic kids. So just a back and forth a little bit on coaching, and we did talk a little bit of Bulls. I was asked to give my thoughts on the first two games in the Summer League for the Beloved. You know, where do I begin? I don't care if it's Summer League. I don't care if it's G League. I don't care if it's a game in your backyard. When you put on a Bulls jersey, you are representing this organization. And what I watched on Friday was an absolute abomination of basketball. That was the worst performance I have ever seen from any team associated with the Chicago Bulls. And I watched every minute. It wasn't just bad. It was disgraceful. And it's as bad as anything I saw in 1999, 2000, any of those post-Jordan Krause teams. It was worse. Let's start with the basics. Some of these guys have no business being on this roster. I don't know how Caleb Grill ended up on this roster. He's 25 years old. He's a rookie. He started two games last year for Missouri in the SEC. 25-year-old rookie, stop, shouldn't be on the team. 25-year-old rookie who started two games in college last year, stop, definitely should not be on a team. Shot 39% from three, so I'm assuming they brought him in to shoot the three. His first two shots in that game, one hit the side of the backboard and the other hit the side of the backboard. Didn't touch rim on the first two three-point shots. Now, I know he's going to shoot it probably better than that. He's 25 years old. He's not athletic. He can't guard anyone. You couldn't find anybody who can shoot the three who's age 21, 22, 23, 24. A little bit more athletic, a little bit more with an actual realistic chance of making an NBA roster. I guess not. I don't know how Jameer Young got a spot. They're not NBA players. They're not even G League caliber. You can't just hand out Summer League jerseys like they're party favors. Noah Essengay, I get it. He's 18. He's raw. He had seven turnovers. He dribbled into double teams, loose with his handle. He is so far away from being a contributing member of any professional team, despite the athleticism, despite the raw skills, and he definitely played better in game two. He still wasn't good in either game. He was 0 for 4 from 3 in game 2. He is so far away from being a rotation player for any NBA team. Talk about a project. My goodness. I mean, there's definitely stuff to like in terms of his size and his athleticism. You know, it's great. That's fantastic. I don't want to hear anyone arguing or complaining about Billy Donovan not playing Noah Essengay. He's not anywhere close to where Modest was last year in terms of skill. And he's not anywhere near size-wise big enough to play like Patrick Williams was as a rookie. So he's going to be out of rotation. He's going to spend a ton of time in the G League in Windy City, and that's where he belongs, period. Ulbrich, honestly, seriously, what does this guy bring to the table? He can't shoot, can't defend the rim, can't move his feet, can't set a decent screen. He had 2 points and two rebounds in 21 minutes. 21. That's your big man? He's 21 years old? I can't even believe that we wasted a draft pick on this guy. And I know people are like, Fred, it's his first two games. I want to know what he does well. His stats are appalling at the free throw line. His stats are appalling from three. He's not a good athlete. He can't defend the rim. What did you see in this guy that made you say, yeah, this guy's an NBA player or has a trajectory to someday even end up in the back end of rotation? He's not an NBA player. Horrible pick. I don't know if it was done because he's friends with Giddey. He's going to be Jack Haley. I have no idea. I just can't believe the talent put together for this roster, the Summer League roster. It's not only bad, it's a horrible fit. It's terrible. The talent. They scored 9 points in that first game. 9 points in the second quarter. They nearly lost by 50. Again, I don't care if it's Summer League. That's not acceptable. The second game, well, they played a lot better. Yeah, yeah. They lost by 17. Every single one of these roster spots should be filled by either a young player with upside or someone who's had a taste of the league and is clawing to get back in it. All right. Yuki, I loved it. Great job. Bring him on the roster. I don't care that he shot horrible in game one. You could tell he's a true point guard. He's going to make Noah develop. He's going to help every one of these guys on this team. That roster spot, completely justified. But everyone else on this team, oh my goodness. That quasi-collection of random players thrown together like it's a rec league team. And the people responsible for putting this together should be embarrassed. This doesn't help Buzelis at all. It doesn't help Essengay. It doesn't help the fans. It's a joke, an embarrassment, a disgrace. And finally, on Buzelis. Look, I believe in Bouzelis. I see the flashes. He's got the size. He's fluid. He's a good athlete. He has tools. He can handle the ball for his size. But let's draw the line a little bit between potential and actual performance. He didn't play well in game one. He didn't shoot it well, which is very important to me. He was 2 for 8 from three. Every one of those was wide open. He got a friendly whistle. The good is he got to the line. I like that. Great. 7 of 7, hit his free throws. A lot of things to like, but the performance was terrible. Why are we acting like he played well? He didn't play well. He had 1 assist. He was tasked a lot of times with being the primary ball handler to bring the ball up to create. He had 1 assist. Now, that's not all on him. His team sucked in terms of actually, you know, completing one. One comes to mind immediately with Olbrich that I thought, hey, that was a nice pass. Too bad Olbrich couldn't do anything with it, even though he's standing right next to the rim. Yeah. That said, he didn't play well. Can we be honest for once about performances? This guy's supposed to be our best player. The whole team is built around him in Vegas, and he didn't do anything. He didn't show up. He missed multiple defensive assignments, including one that led directly to a wide open, embarrassing dunk. He didn't lead. He didn't elevate the team. The Bulls didn't play better with him on the court. We got to stop acting like every Bulls prospect is on the verge of stardom just because we want them to be on the verge of stardom. Set real standards here. Can we do that as a fan base? Expect more. Demand more. The rest of the league is doing it. Why can't we do that? I mean, you saw multiple performances from you know, Cooper Flagg had 31. Dylan Harper had a fantastic debut. Terrence Shannon Jr. was freaking awesome. Had 24 points against Denver. Reed Shepard, even Liam McNeely played well off the bench. If Mahadas had any performance resembling any one of those guys, we would be having a parade right now. Instead, we're celebrating now. He was 7 of 7 from the line. He got to the line. Come on, man. Come on. Demand better. We should expect better. This was ridiculous. This was an embarrassing performance all weekend. There is nothing to be happy about. There's nothing to celebrate. Again, big picture, I am bullish on Mahadas, and I think he's going to be fine. But let's be honest with how he performed. He sucked, the team sucked, and it continued all weekend. And it better get better soon, and there better be changes soon with the way we're doing this summer league, because this roster is a joke. On that note, I hope you enjoy my conversation with Coach Lafayette Bell. Let's go, Bulls.
Bulls are out of timeouts. 2 seconds left. Giddy for the win!
Through the city where the legends play, Chi-town vibes on a sunny day, big red bus with the seats in line, talking Bulls all day, we stay on the grind, rolling down the lane in the big red bus, see Red, Fred, and Doug bring the Bulls to discuss, from the Jordan days to the present fuss, it's gold in the convo, so ride with us.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of the Big Red Bus as we take the glorious monstrosity out onto the streets of Chicago. On this ride, we're taking Coach Lafayette Bell, owner and head coach for Fast Basketball Academy and the new head coach at Marion Central Catholic. How you doing, Coach?
I am doing well. Thanks for having me on.
Oh, Coach, it's an honor to have you on. I've been obviously a big fan with my son, has been in your program, and the strides he took under you were incredible, and obviously I'm also a big fan of your two sons, Elijah and Malachi, who are, I think they're both right now being recruited already. Is that correct?
Yeah, they are. They have some college interest, but you know, they got a long ways to go. So
trust me, anyone listening to this, definitely check out their highlights over the next few years, because Elijah's a junior, Malachi's going to be incoming freshman, but the stuff I'm hearing about him is pretty incredible. So I'm really excited about this episode. It kind of touches on something that, you know, I've been, you know, AAU program. Before I met you, I had a negative attitude about most of those programs. And then after seeing what you did with, you know, my son and other players, definitely kind of changed it around a little bit. So before we get into that, I'd like to learn a little bit about you for the audience. Can you share a little bit about your basketball journey? How'd you get into coaching and what led you to your role with the FAST program?
Wow. So, I actually played high school basketball at Glenbar West in 2002 to 2003. I was 2-time all conference, ended up playing my collegiate career at Elmhurst College. And then I finished up at Concordia University. So, you know, I had a really bad experience with coaching during my last year in college at Concordia University. And, you know, I realized that, you know, a lot of these kids, they need good role models and good people to really pour into them, you know, because basketball is much more than a sport. It's about creating good kids with good character and making them good citizens for this world, right? So,
right.
And I just felt that, you know, in my last, you know, days of playing at collegiate basketball, it just wasn't, you know, the standard for the coach that I had at the time. So it really pushed me into the avenue of coaching kids and developing. It's been a great ride. So
what's your core coaching philosophy when it comes to developing young players in the AAU system and at the high school level?
Well, the most important thing, honestly, that I focus on with a lot of my kids, especially starting young, is their character. You can't really develop a high quality skill set if you are not, you know, good in character. Meaning, are you a hard worker? Are you someone that's going to put your team before yourself? You know, and that's kind of my core, you know, with the kids as far as like skills. You know, young kids, I'm a big believer, they have to know how to dribble and pass the ball. I think shooting comes, you know, later in life, but dribbling and passing the ball is the key essence to, you know, the development of these young basketball players, you know, right now.
What makes FAST different from other AAU programs, and how do you define success for your team beyond just wins and losses?
Well, FAST is different in the sense that we focus predominantly on the development of the player. You know, we're most programs, you know, I've had experience with, you know, the kids will practice maybe one time a week, and then they'll play a ton of, you know, ton of games. You know, my program, my kids are practicing, you know, 2 to 3 times a week, some for 1.5 hours, some for 1 hour. And it's all skills training focused, right? We'll have, you know, different days where we focus on, you know, some specific skill. And a lot of our skill is not playing with the ball in your hand. It's learning how to move with the basketball outside of your hand, right? Just being a threat without the basketball in your hand. So FAST just really focuses a lot on just the development of the basketball player. And I think that's what makes us different than most of the other programs in the area.
So AAU basketball has exploded in popularity, but it's also faced a lot of criticism. What do you think are the biggest misconceptions or challenges facing the AAU circuit today?
Well, I'll be honest, I don't think there's a lot of misconception out there, right? Because, you know, a lot of parents feel as if AAU is a money grab, which I agree it is, depending on, you know, the program that you're with. You know, there's a lot of people that start AAU programs with the intention on just how much money can I make up from a family without the intent to develop their child. My AAU program, like, we keep our fees low because we don't believe that you have to pay $2,000 for an AAU season where, you know, we can just focus on your kid and give them skills training and develop them and have them play in local tournaments, you know. So I think the biggest thing, you get a lot of dads who want their kid to be the best player on the team, so they start a program. I mean, it's just become really watered down. So it's very hard to find a quality program these days.
How do you balance playing time and development with winning, especially when there's pressure from parents and players and scouts?
Well, so at the high school level, I mean, it's simple. Like, if you know, if you are not playing well, you don't play. I mean, that's just high school basketball and preparing them for the next level. As far as, you know, elementary from middle school, you know, all of my kids, they get a minimum of a 20-minute play, right? If there's two 18-minute halves, everyone's going to play at least 20 minutes. And then, you know, the last couple minutes, the guys who's performing the best will play. You know, but I'm a big believer, the development doesn't happen in the tournament. It happens in practice. You know, the more repetitions that they're getting, you know, the more up and down that they get in the practice is where the development really happens. Court time is a bonus.
Are there things you wish more people, fans, media, or even college coaches understood about coaching at the AAU level?
Yeah, well, I wish a lot of parents will understand that, you know, a lot of the AAU coaches are not actual coaches. They're volunteers to try to help their children, right? And that's, you know, and that's some of the good programs, you know. And I just think that parents right now in youth sports is really, really hard, you know, on, you know, these youth coaches where they just, you know, a lot of these coaches, they make, you know, $15, $20 an hour to coach these kids. And, you know, they're just trying to provide, you know, a better service for these kids. And I think the parents are a little too hard on, you know, the youth organizations and the youth coaches, you know, with that. So I wish they understood everything that comes into coaching, right? It's not just show up on the sideline and coach. It's, you know, develop a practice plan, develop a structure, develop a plan of attack. What do we want to get better at as a unit for the next 6 weeks? And what does each kid need to get better at individually in the next 6 weeks? Like, there's a lot that comes into, you know, coaching AAU. And mind you, we only have the kids for 2 to 3 days a week.
Let's get a little bit into NIL. So has okay. NIL trickled down into the AAU world? And are you seeing kids or families approach the game differently now with what future possibilities are now available and in mind?
Well, let me start off with saying that I really like the NIL, right? I think if a kid works hard and the kid is talented, I think that an NIL deal is great for the kid. You know, a lot of the kids in basketball, especially a lot of kids in inner city, you know, if they can make an extra, you know, a few dollars just to put food on the table or, you know, help out their parents, I think that's a great thing. I do think it can be abused. I do think a lot of parents approach NIL deals. They play basketball just for the deal, opposed to the love of the game. Mm-hmm. And so there's a fine balance in both. But the NIL deal, I think is a great opportunity for kids to be compensated for their name, image, and likeness. I love it, actually.
How has the college recruiting process evolved in recent years, and what role do AAU coaches like yourself play in guiding players through that journey?
Wow. Well, I mean, college recruiting is so different than it was even, you know, 10 years ago. You know, with, you know, once COVID hit, it changed the scale for everything. Kids were granted multiple years of re-eligibility because of, you know, the COVID-19 virus. And so now you fast forward 5 years later, kids are now 28, 29. You know, in their sophomore and junior year in college. So it makes it very difficult for at least the high programs to recruit the high school kid, right? Like the high school kid, they're not fully developed. They're, you know, their body's not there. And a lot of the coaches are looking in the transfer portal, which now I'm pretty sure you've heard that the new junior college rule, you can go to JUCO for 2 years and still have 4 years of, you know, Division I eligibility. I mean, it makes it very, very difficult for, you know, the high school kids to get in. So it's our job as, you know, AAU coaches and AAU directors to be honest with our kids. You know, like tell them, you know, if you're not a 4-star, 5-star recruit, there's nothing wrong with looking at a Division II. There's nothing wrong with looking at an NAIA or looking at a, you know, JUCO school, you know, to play a few years to get into the portal, because that's the way it works. There's multiple coaches that's gone online saying that they're not looking for an 18, 19 year old kid. They're looking for someone developed who can come in and impact a system right away. And that's just the way basketball and recruiting has gone, you know, over the last 5 years.
Have there been any particular players you've coached who really embody what FAST stands for? Maybe someone who overcame adversity or grew in a big way under your guidance?
Oh, I have a few of them, but one kid that comes to mind, his name is Christian Rohde. He went to Crystal Lake South High School, plays college basketball at Viterbo. You talk about a kid who's overcome adversity. This kid here, no one's really worked with him. No one, you know, like paid attention to him. He was always just a big kid, had very, very raw skills, but no one really gave him the time of day. And then I started coaching at Crystal Lake South High School. He immediately taken a liking to me, came in, played for Illinois FAST, literally turned my program around. And I mean, this kid, good grades, good attitude. I mean, he does everything that I could want of a FAST basketball academy player. So
what is your general philosophy on coaching? Like, obviously there's coaches out there that have had success kind of like asking their talent to adapt to the coach's system. You know, and there's other coaches who adapt their system to their talent. You know, what would you classify yourself as? Share a little bit of your coaching philosophies.
So I love that. So I adapt to my players. Like, I mean, yes, we have a structure and a way that we do things, but every athlete is different. So I adapt my coaching philosophy to who I have in front of me, right? Because it's hard to force guys to play a certain way in a system when they do not have the capabilities. You know, if for example, if I have a bunch of ball handlers, you know, I have to have a system where, you know, they're going to be successful with ball handling and making decisions. If I have a bunch of shooters, I have to have a system where, you know, we're going to get them open for open threes or, you know, open pin downs and things like that. You know, if I have a bunch of rebounders and a bunch of football players, we have to have a more slowed down system and a more physical system, right? So I just think I think a good coach adapts to, you know, the talent that they have around them within a framework of still having a system and having the way that you do things as a basketball coach.
I'd like to get into a specific game, coaching game, because obviously my son played against the team you coached last year at Harvest Christian. And so I'd like to talk about, like, in-game, what's your opinion and your strategies in terms of in-game changes. So in that game, we were up, I think, at halftime. Obviously, St. Ed had a great player in Matthew Morris, and Ben was the second leading scorer on the team as a sophomore. But I noticed you put Elijah, who is clearly your, I would say, I think he would agree, your best defender, onto Ben in the third quarter and off of Matthew. You know, I was frustrated because at that moment, I'm like, why are we not going to Matthew every time down? What was your strategy and your thinking in that third quarter that really led to you guys beating St. Ed's? I thought that third quarter was the key there and that change.
Well, if you go back and watch the game, Ben had got, he got hot, right? So Ben hit five consecutive points to get a three from the left wing, and then he hit a layup. And so we weren't doing a very good job, you know, pushing him off his left hand. So we made the adjustment where, you know, I know Elijah's length and athleticism, you know, makes a lot of players uncomfortable. And, you know, we had to just cool him off. And I think cooling him off, you know, he wasn't looking for Matthew Morris, right? Because he had just got going. So if we can slow it down and slow him down, I think we had a better chance of winning. And that's exactly what we did. So
great move. Yeah. Well, it definitely worked. I think you understood too, like the way our team ran things, we just ran our offense, right? We weren't really a matchup based offense where as soon as Elijah went off of Matthew, I thought, well, we should go to him. And we just didn't do that. We just continued to work the offense, and you won the game. So, I thought you did an incredible job last year with that Harvest team. I mean, obviously they had your son, who was a sophomore. And then I think that Vinny, was his name Vinny?
Vinny. Yeah,
Vinny. Fantastic freshman, who's now, I think, at St. Viator. Now that Harvest is closing, but incredible stuff. So talk a little bit about, now you got a new head coaching job in high school. Can you talk about that at all?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm walking into a situation where, you know, I have to change mindsets, right? The difference between, you know, Harvest and Marion is I have a bunch of kids at Marion that want to be there, right? At Harvest, there's a lot of kids that wanted to be there, but they were there because a lot of their families kind of pushed it on them. At Marion, these kids want to be here, you know, so I got a bunch of kids that want to be here. I got a bunch of kids that's eager to learn. The biggest thing that these kids struggle with that I watch, even when I watch film on them coming into taking a position, was that they lack a lot of fundamentals, right? So going back to our original conversation on skills training, a lot of that was missed in their youth, right? So I'm going to step in right away and just really focus on, you know, just the fundamentals of the game, basic two-hand passes, playing out 2 feet, teaching them how to pivot, you know, teaching them what's a good shot selection, what's a bad shot, you know, just the basic things. And I think in the next couple of years, we can be a tough team to reckon with. So
do you have some time to talk some Bulls?
Absolutely.
All right. So your general thoughts on the ball trade, and be warned, I'm very positive on it because I love Isaac Okoro. So I'm not sure what your thoughts are on that specific trade and the team in general.
You know, honestly, I am a diehard Lonzo Ball fan. I've been following Lonzo, Melo, and Jello since, you know, they were at Chino Hills. And I think we gave up something too prematurely. You know, like, you know, one thing with the Bulls, we've done it years in past when we gave up, you know, Brad Miller, he goes to Sacramento, becomes an all-star, right? We give up Ron Artest, you know, he goes to Sacramento, becomes an all-star, right? And so I just think we give up on our players a little too prematurely. You know, I do like, you know, Okoro. I do like, you know, our nucleus with, you know, Buzelis and, you know, even a new kid that we drafted. Like, I think we have a good nucleus. We just have to stay with them and let them develop and grow and go through the pain.
What was your thoughts on all the rumors about Kobe White potentially being traded?
I like Kobe White as well, but I mean, Kobe White's at an age where he wants to win, right? And so, you know, I think we can get a key piece for him. And again, like, I like the kid from, you know, Oklahoma City, Jalen Green. Like, he'll be a great guy to bring over to, you know, put into a leadership role with Buzelis, you know, especially while his, you know, trade stock is pretty high, you know. So, you know, Kobe White, yeah, he's ready to win right now. And I think if we can just get a few pieces for him, I think we'll be fine. I love Kobe. I wish he stays. But I do think he has high trade value right now.
Who's your favorite Bull of all time?
My favorite Bull of all time? Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, I mean, that goes without saying. It goes Mr. Michael Jordan. Yeah. I'm a diehard Mike fan. But, you know, on top of that, I love Pippen. Like, a lot of people underestimate or undervalue what Pippen brought to, you know, that franchise. You know, even when Mike retired, you know, Pippen was, you know, a finalist for MVP, right? You know, yeah. So Pippen did so much, you know, that, you know, he didn't get credit for because, I mean, you had, you know, the greatest player of all time on your team, you know. But Scottie Pippen, he was a great two-way player. I model my defense after him, just active hands, you know, long, you know, using your body to, you know, knock guys off their line. You know, Pippen was a close second, but Michael Jordan obviously is number one.
So outside of Michael, Pippen, and Derrick Rose, what's your number? Who's your next favorite Bull?
Craig Hodges.
I love Craig Hodges, coach. One of my favorites.
People don't realize what Craig Hodges was and how he played the game of basketball. I love Craig Hodges.
I am so impressed that you said that. One of my favorites, too. Incredible shooter ahead of his time. I still can see him in that All-Star break hitting, was it 25 straight threes, I think? It was
25 straight threes, yep.
Incredible performance in that three-point shootout. I love Craig Hodges. There's a couple good interviews you got to check out online, recent ones, where he was talking about difference between Michael and Kobe Bryant. Really good stuff. Coach, one last thing. I am curious. So Elijah, has he gotten already as going? He's going to be a junior. Has he gotten any Division I scholarships already?
He has not had any official offers. He's had a lot of coaches, you know, interested, sending him emails for further evaluation. Yeah. I mean, his biggest thing is, like, he's not, like, he doesn't have the social media presence like everyone else. You know, I tell every coach that I speak to, I tell him he's a hidden gem, you know. And when you come watch him play, you watch film, you can see this kid knows how to win games. So I tell every coach, anybody who picks him up, they're going to be a national championship contender because he brings that pedigree to it. So, I mean, he's literally in my gym right now at 9 o'clock. You know, his goal is to make 300 three-pointers by the end of the night. So
I love it, Coach. That's fantastic. And now he's going now to Jacobs?
He's going to Jacobs.
How are you going to handle that with your coaching duties and still trying to keep on top of him? And I'm assuming Malachi is going to be on varsity as a freshman.
Yeah, he's already been playing varsity over the summer. He actually started over the summer as well. So, but honestly, you know, I think as a coach, you got to realize when it's time to let go, right? And, you know, if he's going to play college basketball, he has to be able to hear someone else's voice, right? I've been coaching him since he's been in third grade. And I think Jimmy Roberts do a great job over at Jacobs, you know. So, and, you know, Jimmy is really, you know, taking a liking to him. He's pouring into him. You know, he texts him, put him into, you know, like leadership groups and things like that. So I think he's in a great situation.
Coach, I can't thank you enough for coming on. I wish you the best of luck this year in every game until you play St. Ed's. And I will say I'm a huge fan of the work that you've done, especially with my son. The amount of progress he made from his freshman to sophomore year was clearly under your leadership. Really, it was amazing work. So I can't thank you enough for that. And I'm a huge fan of both of your sons, too. So, Coach, thanks for coming on the Big Red Bus and talking about this interesting world of AAU, high school basketball, and NIL. Where can people find you if they want to learn more about you? Do you post any social media that you'd like to publicize?
Yeah, you can. So you can follow me on Instagram at Illinois Fast, or you can follow me personally at Doc 2 Feet. My name is Doc 2 Feet because I teach players how to play off 2 feet. So you can follow me there.
Awesome. I'll get those in. I'll put those in the body of the pod that goes out. Coach, I can't thank you enough for coming on.
All right, thank you so much for having me.